Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Tickle Team, a new team building service utilizing the ancient art of tickling. Episode 232, Is Flutter Better Than React Native?
It is St. Patrick's Day, as of the recording, at least. So happy St. Patrick's Day to both of you. Are you wearing green? I need to ask.
No.
No and no. Really? I am wearing green.
I have a lot of green in the office, though. Yeah, green is my favorite color, but I also don't have green in my wardrobe. It's basically black and grays.
Can you really call it your favorite color,
though? Well, yeah. I mean, my keyboard.
I don't know if you can make that claim.
So my wife, Kyra, outfitted me. She actually is a little bit Irish, I guess. And she outfitted me with something special. People in the audience are not going to be able to see this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there you go.
I say can't. I don't.
Can't touch this?
Is that a Gaelic word?
Can't pinch this.
Oh, can't pinch this. That's smart.
It's my socks. Yeah, I have green socks that say can't pinch this.
I actually had kind of a vendetta against St. Patrick's Day for a long time.
Really?
I would always, I mean, this, like into adulthood, as a kid, it was fun. But into adulthood, I would always like forget that it was St. Patrick's Day and go to work and not be wearing green and then be pinched all day at work by my coworkers.
See?
And I hated it.
I feel like that's probably less of a thing now. Like, you can't really do that, right? Like, that feels like it's problematic.
I mean, this was like maybe five years ago. So the only difference would really be COVID.
Before Infinite Red.
Before Infinite, yeah. I mean, I don't work. Infinite Red doesn't really have an office.
Virtual pinch.
I would never pinch a coworker.
Right?
Same here.
That's how I feel about it. And so it was just obnoxious. So, yeah, I have some hard feelings about it. But now that I have kids, it's fun to get them all dressed up. And
Okay. Somewhat random, but speaking about pinches and thinking about virtually, do you remember when Facebook had their poke feature?
Yes.
Yes.
I was about 14 when Facebook like really took off. So if you can imagine, high school was like,
oh yeah,
that was four years of like early Facebook. And so there was a lot of
poking.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's just I don't know who made that feature, but I guess they probably got some. I wonder, when did it go away? Like,
it just went.
I don't remember. I definitely had a poke, like back and forth poke war with my high school boyfriend for years. Just constant, like poking back and forth.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like about the maturity level of a high school relationship. Yeah. Well, welcome to everybody in the audience. It is probably well past St. Patrick's Day, wherever you are, but, happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you anyway. I'm Jamin Holmgren, your host and friendly CTO of Infinite Red. And I'm joined today by my intrepid co-hosts, Robin and John Major. We tried to find like a Gaelic or is it Gaelic?
Yeah.
Like an Irish word that would work for that. And all of them sounded like either I couldn't pronounce them or they sounded vaguely like I wouldn't be able to really pull it off. So we just went with Intrepid. I think that works.
I like it. Makes me feel like your noble steed.
Yeah. You know, you can just say noble. You don't have to go with the steed.
I don't know. It just seems like you'd say that for like a horse.
That's true, actually.
You just call Jamin a horse.
No, I'm the horse in this case. I'm the...
Oh, okay. If you call yourself a horse, then it's okay.
Mazen is still out on paternity leave. And speaking of another Intrepid co-host. But yeah, Robin is a senior software engineer located in Portland, Oregon, works at Infinite Red, specializes in React Native. How are you doing today, Robin?
Oh, you know, I'm okay.
Just okay.
Just okay.
Intrepid, but okay.
Not the best night of sleep. Every night is a little bit different as far as how much sleep I get.
So. That's really kind of the big thing.
Definitely.
And then we have John Major, our Intrepid, not a horse. He's actually a human being, co-host, lives in Janesville, Wisconsin. is a senior software engineer here at Infinite Red, also works on React Native. He's also the editor-in-chief of the React Native newsletter. What's up, John Major?
Oh, not a whole lot. It's been nice and sunny here. It's in the 60s.
Good.
And I got my coffee, so I can't complain.
Awesome. Been driving your truck?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish I could just nice. Work out there. I mean, I could.
Just you from could. Your truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should podcast from your truck sometime.
I should.
You know, that would be a really good like sound insulation thing. There you go. Right?
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. Nobody in Ireland at this point. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next React Native project, hit us up. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through this podcast. We are hiring. Go to careers.infinite.red if you are a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada. All right, let's get into our topic for today. The topic is Flutter better than React Native? Or really, this is all about my blog post. Flutter is better than React Native in all the ways that don't matter.
Bold.
A bit of a provocative title. And it's something I've said before.
Provocative or clickbait?
I prefer provocative.
It's both.
It's a little clickbaity. I sent it to my family and my sister was like, wow, I don't even really care about that topic, but that title makes me want to click on it and see what it is.
It's a very good title.
I think it was. And I think it's something that has been, there's some truth to it too. It's not just like, oh, this is, you know, going to catch some attention, but there's some truth to it too. So yeah, I mean, I wrote this blog post.
Well, we've talked about Flutter on the podcast before.
We have.
And I believe you mentioned that phrase at the time. It's kind of something yeah. you believed for a while.
Probably back to, I don't know, 2019 or something like that. I think I found a tweet, something along those lines way back 3-4 years ago.
So how did the pot get stirred into writing this blog post?
Well, I don't know. I actually tweeted out, should I write a blog post titled Flutter is better than React Native in all the ways that don't matter? And it was kind of just a joke, you know, and I've said this before, so I didn't really think it would get much attention. It's like, oh, Jamin's on his horse again. You know, he's talking about this.
It's not me, everybody.
His intrepid horse.
It's either that or TypeScript.
TypeScript, which I'm not going to talk about as much anymore. I'm just tired of that one. But yeah. And all of a sudden, it just took off. And it was just like, just kept getting notification, people replying, saying, yes, please, I want to read this. Yes, please, please write this. And a few people saying, no.
I saw that. I was reading through the replies, and there were literally people that just took the time to reply to the tweet to say, no.
N-O.
You know, I appreciate them going against the tide there. But there were a lot of people who said yes. And so, you know, I'm almost 700 likes or something. And so I was like, okay, I guess I got to write this. And so it took me, I think, 3 weeks to write it. I wrote a pretty good chunk of it in about 3 days. And then I was just like, you know, I really want to take my time and do this right. Because if I'm coming at it from, obviously, host of React Native Radio, we do React Native at Infinite Red and all the different things. I don't want to come at it and be like, oh, this is another rant piece by a React Native developer.
So I'm super curious what your writing process was like and how you did your research.
Well, I sort of had, from the very beginning, I had the general gist of, you know, and I'm going to spoil the article for you folks that have not read it yet. But the thing that matters in this sort of debate between Flutter and React Native isn't all of the technical stuff. It's really about stuff that's more business concerns, you know, like being able to hire JavaScript developers. That's a huge deal, where obviously Flutter uses Dart. And then also being able to share with web and share not just code, but also knowledge and developers and things like that. So huge, 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 you know, kind of like elephant in the room. It just kind of dwarfs everything else. So this was the general thesis. And what I wanted to do, because I've been following Flutter and Flutter 2 and React Native, of course, I've been seeing that there are pieces of what Flutter does that are generally, I guess, fairly accepted as being a little better, at least, than React Native. And so I just kept thinking to myself, but that doesn't matter. Like, this stuff is kind of a side it's a little bit of a distraction, unless it's like a gigantic lead. You know, maybe if there was something that was just a huge, huge jump forward that you just couldn't ignore. But really, all things considered, you know, being able to have your React developers work on your mobile app was just so huge. And React, of course, is massive. It's arguably the biggest framework, not just web framework, but framework in the world. Some people will say WordPress and jQuery will take that. But, you know, like maybe it's arguable. So with that in mind, I went into it thinking, okay, I'm going to list out all of these things that I've heard over the years and kind of researched and seen that generally speaking have been acknowledged as, you know, Flutter's doing a better job. And, you know, things that come to mind are performance, developer experience, things like that. So I went out there for my research. I went out and did a bunch of just Googling for all the different articles that have popped up over the years on Flutter versus React Native. And I got a bunch of them from React Native developers, from Flutter developers, from people who have done both. Some are just pure rants. Some are shallow comparisons. Some go a little deeper in some ways into things like performance and stuff like that. And I read them all. And I just kind of like got a very good sense for where the community seemed to be at least what was published. And with that, then I just started listing things out. I started just kind of going through and writing things like performance, developer experience.
So all the things that don't matter.
Yes, exactly.
Because all the things that don't matter took the most research.
They sure did. Yeah, they absolutely did. Because I can't just go out there and say, oh, hey, none of these things matter and I'm not even going to talk about them. Right. I kind of wanted to actually know what I was talking about. Because really, at the end of the day, these things do matter. But as long as the two frameworks are close enough, it's something else that takes the cake there. Native integrations was one, internationalization, built-in navigation, web support was a big one that actually went more for React Native, third-party libraries, you know, and what companies are using it, code push, you know, all of this stuff. So with that in mind, I basically wrote all of those things and I explained like how they're so close to each other and which one I thought gave the edge and things like that. And then toward the end, I was like, but none of that stuff matters because what really matters is hiring. What really matters is sharing your code knowledge and developers with your web team. And I sent it to a number of people and I really tried to pick out Flutter developers primarily, people that really knew Flutter and had opinions, but also were reasonable people, people that wouldn't just rant at me. And I also sent it to Gant, Gant Laborde, who is one of my business partners here at Infinite Red. And Gant gave me some great advice. He said, as I'm reading this article, I'm 2/3 of the way through and I still don't know what matters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. People are going to give up and they're just going to get the wrong impression here. I really want to hit this point. So I went back and started rewriting the article and I started off with the thing of what does matter. And I started off with this is what matters.
And if you care about all the rest of it, you can keep reading.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was a really good piece of advice from Gant. Mm. I loved that. Thank you, Gant. That was awesome. It really made the article, in my opinion, because the way I was coming at it was more from a like, oh, I'm going to build very slowly. And then at the end, kind of hit him with something big. It's like, no, people don't have the attention span for that.
I like that.
Gant is a showman.
He is.
He's a showman. And he writes a lot of really excellent talks and articles.
Mm-hmm.
Gant is really a showman. He writes a lot of really excellent talks and articles. He's also a part of Toastmasters. He's actually distinguished, which is the highest honor you can get in Toastmasters. So he's very good at conveying ideas in a provocative and entertaining way. So he was a really good person to go to for feedback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love running these articles by him because I know I won't just get like, hey, you missed a period, you know, or you need a comma here or something. Like he gives me actual, like actionable, very good advice. Anyway, it was great because it really kind of made the article. The other thing was I sent it to all these other Flutter developers and they gave me very thoughtful replies. And it was like, you know, you make this claim here, but I don't think that's true. And, you know, so I'll give an example of this. I was making the claim in one of the early articles that Flutter's accessibility like features were behind React Native's because I was sort of making that assumption because they were having to rebuild these things from scratch. And I had seen some people say this, like, you know, out there in the wild. And instead of relying on the platform primitive, like UI elements that already have accessibility baked in. And one of them got back with me and said, you know, that's not totally true. They've actually done a pretty good job of rebuilding those. Yeah, they had to rebuild them, but they did a pretty good job. And they have accessibility features built into Flutter. So I revamped it to be more fair to Flutter. And I got all kinds of advice like that.
I would argue it's not only fair to Flutter, it falls in Flutter's favor a lot in the ways that don't matter,
yeah.
Which I think really reinforces your that you're approaching this unbiased. You're admitting that mm-hmm. Flutter is technically better.
Yeah, exactly. And I really wanted to come across fair because I did feel like people would probably, if I was fair to both Flutter and React Native, that people would take it more seriously, like you said. And I wanted it to be kind of, I really haven't seen like a really fair treatment of this topic, or at least at any deeper level. So,
because people are either React Native developers or they're Flutter developers. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exceedingly rare that you have someone who's really done both and knows both really well. And so you're always going to know one better than the other. So I think it was really, really good that you got so much feedback from people who write Flutter apps every day.
Absolutely. I do have to call out one person who does both React Native and Flutter regularly for his job, and that's Andrew Gabriel. And he did a really great job of giving me feedback on that too. Gave me some stuff that I was able to, you know, like almost like copy and paste into my article. Is so well written to me. It was fantastic stuff. Of course, you know, people want a conclusion, of course. And so I did give, obviously there's the what matters part, which I think does lean it in React Native's direction. I also tried to give the nuance of, you know, it depends on context. Like if you're a Java or an Android shop and or you need like a unified fluid UI, then Flutter makes a lot of sense. If you are already using React or even JavaScript a lot in your business, then React Native makes a lot of sense. So I feel like, you know, it kind of gives you, it's more of a contextual thing, to be honest. So after writing and rewriting and getting lots of feedback and kind of just, you know, doing the best I could, I finally got it to a point where I felt like it was pretty good. And I got some graphics from our amazing designer, Jenna Fucci.
Really great graphics. I was really impressed.
It's a new style. We're actually floating a new style on our blog now. So if people look at older articles, they'll see a slightly more cartoonish look. And where now this is a little more kind of gritty, a little more, I don't know.
It's a little bit surrealist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jenna had sent me
avant-garde.
Jenna had sent me a cover for my blog post coming out, and she called it it's a halftone effect. So
it's very cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah, definitely look at the artwork. It's all custom for the article. So
Jenna has such a cool job. Sometimes
I know, right?
Sometimes I wish I had like pursued
design,
like graphic design.
Yeah, it is a cool job. I don't know. It's awesome, and it's like it just made my article so much better.
Right, it just like pops out. It's so cool.
Yeah. So I tweeted it out, and it got a good reception, and I was kind of surprised. It was mostly positive feedback, like 90% positive feedback. And then yesterday, Brian noted, hey, you've hit the front page of Hacker News.
Yeah.
It was like number 24 on Hacker News, which is barely the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It just kind of snuck on there. But then as we watched it, it went up, 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 up.
Literally five minutes later, by the time I saw the Slack post saying, oh, hey, you're number 24 on Hacker News, it was at number 11.
Yeah.
And then it went to 2 pretty quick after that.
Number 2. Overall, we couldn't dislodge the number 1, but we did get up to number 2 on Hacker News, and that was a pretty cool experience. I've been on the front page of Hacker News once before. This was in like 2012 or something like that for a Ruby library that I wrote, but this was a cool experience getting up there. of course, you're going to get comments if people have opinions about stuff like this.
152.
And I think we had over 150 comments.
There were some. Yeah. There were some fun troll comments.
Yeah. What was one of them, Robin?
The one that sticks out that was at the pretty much the bottom the whole time, referred to JavaScript developers as script kiddies.
We're talking about quality developers, not script kiddies.
It got downvoted very heavily.
Yeah. I like the first response to it. Did you just fall through a time portal from 2008?
JavaScript hasn't been the exclusive domain of script kiddies for a long time. Someone did bring up an interesting phenomenon, though, which is that JavaScript used to have, not so much anymore, this reputation for being childish or for inexperienced mm-hmm. developers.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if it was all young people playing around with JavaScript in 2008, all those people are in their 30s, 40s now. And the language has evolved with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even just straight in the browser too, just writing JavaScript, you can write pretty modern JavaScript all the way through in Chrome browser.
For a lot of people, it still has that reputation that it had in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like a lot of apps were more server-side rendered back then still.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So now with all these browser client-side frameworks, it's much more of a first-class citizen. Anyway, that's a whole...
That's another topic.
A whole tangent.
trail. So the top comment is, this article highlights one of the things that really bugs me about tech hiring. This is by someone, Onion2K. The availability of developers who know a language or tech isn't a limiting factor if you're willing to hire people and give them the time to learn. Yes, it's expensive, but if there really are productivity benefits from using a particular tool, then you should be better off in the long term anyway. And then goes on to, basically complain that people don't train,
right,
which I think is, a fair thing. And they say, unless companies start hiring to mentor people, this will not change, and probably TypeScript will just eat all the others in the long run. My response to that is just, what is going to change about this? What makes you think something's going to change about this? It's how it is, it's just reality.
But at the same time, does it have to change in the sense of training people to be capable of writing Java mm-hmm. or Swift or what have you? Because I do believe that companies do have training opportunities, the right ones do. But if it is that you don't like TypeScript and so you want to be trained on these other things, I think that's where I would say that's not a fair thing to do on a company's time.
Yep.
Because I think TypeScript is still a great choice.
Yeah.
And again, I do believe companies still do train. It's just the right companies.
At the end of the day, we're going to land on something that's good enough, usually.
Yes.
As a common denominator. Just because the cost of changing, switching is quite a bit. I've usually spent about 5 years in a language and then switched to something else. That's generally been my career path. There's a real cost to making that change because you have to relearn a lot of things, not just the language, but the tooling and things like that. But at the same time, when I started my business, I trained all the time. I mean, some of those people are still with me today. Actually, Robin, I guess technically you were switching from a different language and you had to be trained as well.
Yeah, Infinite Red trained me on React Native.
And so we have all senior level developers, but it's not that we didn't train. With that said, there's a difference between training someone who has been doing C embedded programming for, nuclear power plants or something. And then switching them over to working in React. That's a pretty big delta there versus someone who's been doing JavaScript and React on the web mm-hmm. and then having them do JavaScript React on React Native mobile. That's a much smaller delta there.
And that was my story as well. I came from the web doing React.js, and then I came over here to do React Native.
Yeah, you're a total example of this, John Major. We were able to hire you because of your background doing React. Otherwise, it would have been tougher. It would have taken a lot longer to get you up to speed, a lot longer to get you to where you are today. Which, by the way, I do have to mention, it's your 1 year anniversary not long ago. I think it was this week, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Working at Infinite Red.
15th.
Yeah. So congrats.
Thank you.
It's pretty awesome.
It is.
So yeah, that's kind of I guess the whole thesis of this article is that this is the biggest thing, and it just dwarfs everything else.
And I want to add one more thing is that with the amount of React developers that are out there, I think that speaks volumes to performance and developer experience being somewhat of a given.
You wouldn't have that many developers if there wasn't some level of positive developer experience.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It's definitely getting better all the time.
Well, I mean, compared to writing raw HTML and CSS.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, I think it definitely makes sense that the top comment, the one that had the most engagement, was touching on that hiring issue and whether it's even like
whether it should
be the deciding factor.
Yeah, and it, like, a lot of times I see a lot of arguments on Hacker News that really come down to, well, it shouldn't be this way, and the other person says, yeah, but it is this way. So we have to deal with it. And the other person says, but it shouldn't be that way. And you go back and forth.
You can get really bogged down in what it should be versus making what is work.
Yeah. Second highest was, I think Flutter is better because it uses Dart. I used to hate that decision, not another language to learn, but Flutter and Dart are like Mac and Mac OS. I'm aware people complaining about Mac OS. Okay, that side rant. Okay. They're both from the same company, seemingly built for each other, and the language improvements are relevant for the platform of Flutter. And kind of goes on to talk more about Dart. But again, it's a situation where that may be true. I mean, Dart might be better. Mm-hmm. But I remember this, there's this saying that I learned from one of my engineers years and years ago when we had this conversation when we talked about tabs versus spaces, for example. And it was just, you know, Jamin, sometimes standard is better than better. And it's true. Standard is better than better. Something might be better. And that's arguable, honestly. But let's just accept this premise.
The premise that Dart is better than...
Right.
But there's...
Standard is better.
React is the standard. Like...
It is.
There's so many resources.
Yeah. You can share between... I mean, honestly, who's going to go out there and choose... Let's say that you weren't planning to do a mobile app. And you're just going to go do some web, like a web app.
You're probably going to choose React or something that's React-ish or based on React.
React-ish.
Yeah.
And you're certainly probably going to be using JavaScript.
Yeah.
Where who's going to go out there and be like, I'm not really planning to do a mobile app, but I'm going to use Dart. It's just not going to happen. So what happens is your web team is going to be on JavaScript, TypeScript. That's what's going to happen. And so when that happens, then no matter what you do from then on, you are
building
going to be better off, I guess, in a lot of ways by having that same stack on your mobile site. Mm-hmm. This is what really led us to React Native in the very first place. We were looking for something cross-platform, there had always been sort of this promise that we could do this, but React Native was the first thing that really delivered on that. And because we already knew JavaScript, it was a fairly simple thing to move to.
So basically, if you are a single, or if you're like you're a lone developer and you're going to build your own mobile app for your own purposes, and you're not going to hire anybody, and you're not going to build a website, go ahead and use Flutter. But otherwise... In a lot of ways, React Native is probably a better choice.
I do think that they push each other.
Definitely.
Because when you look at this article and you realize, yeah, Flutter is better. And this is one of the things that I learned as I was doing more research. Flutter is pretty good. Like, it really is. There's some really cool things. Some people, like some of the Flutter guys were like, hey, so as you're researching this, you might end up finding that you want to switch over to Flutter. I'm like, I have a lot of respect for Flutter and Flutter developers, and that has not changed as I research this. In fact, it's gone up. But yeah, it's that was something that I definitely think came home, was like, yeah, there's some really cool stuff. But Flutter then pushes React Native because the React Native core team sees it and they're like, okay, yeah, Flutter has this much better upgrading experience, for example, and we want to get there. Now, one of the things that I think I probably could have done a better job of in the article was point out how much Expo brings to the table. Because Expo solves a fair amount of the developer experience problems that people have with React Native.
Yeah.
Upgrading so much easier. So much easier. It just has, like, it's so much easier to set up, you know, get set up for your development environment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good point.
Expo is the thing that kind of sands off those edges and makes it really cool. Some people don't want to be reliant on Expo because it is a third party that, you know, is a for-profit company. But if you're looking at it in terms of the whole ecosystem, Expo, there is really nothing like it over on Flutter.
Yeah. You said something interesting in response to the person that pointed that out to you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You said you were trying to avoid third-party libraries because you wanted to sort of compare the pure React Native to pure Flutter, but that Expo at this point is really more than a third-party library. It's kind of a second party.
It really is.
Because it's so integrated and there's so much collaboration between the Expo team and the React Native Core team that it's almost a part of React Native Core.
Yeah, that's the reality. And I did go back and edit my article to add a section about Expo in the developer experience side because that was so important.
Honestly, I wouldn't with the recent updates to Expo with EAS, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if a couple years from now Expo is React Native. They will be one and the same.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting there too. We even talked about recently about Ignite, maybe just having one thing that you spin up that you can drop onto EAS or not. So it's not like you pass in --Expo. It's just whatever Ignite app you build is compatible with EAS right away. So that's kind of a step in that direction. But yeah, by the way, we have a whole episode about EAS, Expo Application Services. So go check that out. I don't remember exactly which episode it is, but just search it. So I think we've kind of gone over this enough. Again, if you're interested in this topic, go read the article. Flutter is better than React Native in all the ways that don't matter. It's on shift.infinite.red, which is our Medium publication. Nothing's behind a paywall, so you can just go check it out. We don't actually promote that blog enough. We should, although, of course, we need to write a little more too. But John's working on an article right now, actually.
Yep.
Which is going to be awesome when it comes out. And we're going to be putting a lot more content up there. Thanks for everybody who gave me the impetus to write this article. It was actually a great thing for me
to dive into this. Kick in the pants, but it was worth it.
I did. Just a kick in the pants. No pinches.
No pinches or pokes.
Yes, or pokes.
No pokes. Thanks, everybody, for all the great feedback on the article. Again, yeah, go check it out. If you'd like to nerd out more about it, about this topic or anything else, you can check out my Twitch stream at rn.live. You can also join our Slack community, community.infinite.red. We have almost 2,000 React Native developers in there and it's very active, like a lot of people kind of interacting there. Where can people find you, Robin, online?
I'm on Twitter at Robin_Hines.
And John Major?
At John Major C.
You can find me at Jamin Holmgren. You can find React Native Radio's Twitter presence at React Native RDIO. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/React Native. Make sure to subscribe. Send it to a friend who is a Flutter fan or a React Native fan. Or
both.
Your mom.
Anybody, I guess.
Your sibling.
It's a clickbait article, so.
Your mom.
You know? I'm sorry. Provocatively titled article. So people will hopefully like it. Reminder, we are hiring careers.infinite.red, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.